Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. I know it's Thursday and I said if it's not on Friday, it's not happening. Well, I lied. There we go. It's on Thursday, it's happening. And we've probably got one of the best panels we've had all year. Four people have turned up. Who'd have thought it? I thought I'd be sitting here on my own today. We cancelled Big Show though because we're short. But the good news is there's going to be a photo show after this.
Oh, fun.
Shut up. Thanks, man. There's going to be a photo show after this. We haven't done one in God knows how long. I haven't done one. And I'm just going to do the photo show. So Patrice, if you can enable the comments in the new Spangly app thing that you did for us, that would be awesome because we might actually get a few going, oi, you bastard, where you been? So we're going to do a photo show. There we go. Joining me, absolutely amazing panel. We're going to have a great show today because there's actually a little bit of news, which I thought there wouldn't be. I thought there'd be a bit of fallout after WWDC, but we're doing well. Doc Rock starting us off. How you doing, brother?
Good. Busy, but I'm here. I'm alive. I'm kind of happy.
Gorgeous, pristine video with pretty much lip sync through the VNC as well.
I don't know how the hell last week was so bad. It's horrendous.
Mate, it was dog shit. It was awful. But you're here now, and it's spangly and gorgeous. Still dark there, you said.
Yeah, it's because it's freaking 5 a.m. The chickens were like, yo, STFU as you're walking. Keep it down. No. I was like whistling a mighty tune.
Oh, good luck. Starting it off. Thank you for your commitment, mate, as always.
No way.
Next to him, Jeffrey.
Ewan, it's always great to see you. Sorry I had to miss you last week.
Yeah, no, it's okay, mate. Stuff happens. I was going to say a bad word then. So you're back in harness. Was it a good conference?
It was. I was at the ACES conference. It's a conference for Apple consultants and MSPs. All right. And they did it in Kansas City this year. And it's always a good event. And doing it in Kansas City, I thought was really great because while a lot of people think of Kansas City as this kind of slow, small town thing, it's a big city with fantastic museums, you know, like world-class museums, and they have great barbecue and there's great music. So nice. Even though it was like stupid hot for me and the humidity just sucked for me, it was still a great time.
I can't stand humidity. I don't enjoy it, I have to say, but I was an awful lot fatter then. So maybe we'll see. Next to him, Steve Sandy. Where have you been, mate? I hope you got a note.
I've been all over the place. Let's see. I'm trying to think where I started. Let's see. But a little over a month ago, I was up in, of all places, Cheyenne, Wyoming, chasing a 1.2 million pound steam engine. And okay. There's a long story there, but I was doing that. And let's.
Were you on a horse or were you driving?
I was driving.
Right, okay.
Well, actually, I was
parked. Well, you should have caught it then, shouldn't you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a long story and I won't go through it. But yeah, and then spouse and I went on a yet another trip. We are quite the travelers and we ended up doing a kind of a 40th anniversary trip, which was a Alaska cruise going from Vancouver to Vancouver and then taking a train.
That's a pretty short journey,
Vancouver
though.
And Jasper,
yeah, that is.
And Alberta.
I think you get ripped off.
Yeah, how much did you pay to go from Vancouver to Vancouver?
Actually, nothing.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's not very far, is it?
I won't tell you how, but it was actually a no-cost cruise.
Okay.
Which works out well, but...
So it was Vancouver to Vancouver via where?
Let's see, Skagway, Juneau, and Ketchikan, which we've all been to before. So it was great. We spent most of our time going, you know, finding the brew pubs in each one of those cities.
Oh, yeah, I like that trip.
And
Juneau and Ketchikan are nice places. I enjoyed both.
Yeah. Oh, I love Ketchikan. And Skagway was fun because... years ago, we went there and we just had a wonderful day, but it was away from the city. We really didn't get to hang out. And so anyway, once again, found two, not one, but two brew pubs in Skagway and tried them both out. Yay.
I'm not a great one for wanderlust, I have to say. I'm not. I spend my life traveling for work, so the thought of leaving home is just something that doesn't appeal to me much. But I do have to say that I would love to go to India. I would love to see Yosemite before I die, and I would love to go to Alaska. That would be special.
Bro, you guys are missing the best place in the world. I'm telling you, one trip to Japan will change your life.
Oh, I don't think I don't disagree that I think I'd really enjoy Japan when I was there, but it's the drive to get up and go that's my problem.
Yeah.
It's like coming to see you, Doc. I would kill to come and see you. It'd be fantastic. But then I'd sit and look and go, hang on, I got 7 hours to New York and then I got another 10 hours to you, and it's just like
You wouldn't see him anyway because Doc is eternally busy.
Exactly. I'd be asleep and Doc would be awake. Yeah. And I think, well, it's only Doc. It's 17 hours for Doc. Oh, not joking.
Yeah, Doc would be ignoring you.
And last but by no means least, the man who's been ignored by Doc more than any of us, Patrice.
I'm not sure if that's true.
Still but wearing his shirt. Like,
all four places that you just mentioned are still on my list. India, Japan is where, like, at the very top. Yosemite, I'll probably do soon.
Yeah, and, before we leave the shores. Yeah.
Yosemite's really great.
Yeah. Yeah, I can believe that. Now, what top have you got on today, Patrice? Is that the monkey one, or it's not the unicorn one, is it?
No, that's the chicken. I can step back for a little bit.
The chicken, cool. I never saw the chicken, actually. I've only got...
I wanted the monkey. They also had a really nice unicorn. They had a nice dragon. All of those were not available in my size. Like, size M was basically sold out, which was a shame.
Excellent. Well done. You didn't get the complete selection then. That's a shame.
Okay. No, I only got three t-shirts. I also got one at Apple Park.
Were they stupid dollar?
Yeah. $35 for the conference shirts and $40 for the Apple Park. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you have to pay $1,000 for the sleeves or something?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but
those came extra.
You can have a t-shirt for $35, but if you want to put your head through it, we'll have to charge you another $1,000. Right, that joke's getting old now, isn't it? Sorry, I'll stop. Okay. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on, all the bit that's been happening, there is some stuff. There is quite a lot of stuff going on. First one, I think this is hell freezing over. Apple launches new iCloud for Windows app in the Microsoft Store.
Wow.
Okay, I mean, here's my take. Why did it take so long?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Good point.
Well, there's a definite change, isn't there? I mean, there's Apple is more ubiquitous now than it's ever been, I would have said. You know, you look at the Apple TV application is going to come on smart TVs and come everywhere. Apple's trying to get its message out there. I mean, I can't see there's a massive uptake because I would have thought iCloud would probably facilitate some. I suppose there's a lot of people with an iPhone and a Windows machine because they cottoned on to that, didn't they, a while ago?
I mean, they're definitely, I mean, since Apple is selling way more iPhones than Macs, there you could definitely bet that like a big percentage of those iPhone users are Windows users.
And what's so presumably then, because now don't forget, of course, Apple Music is everywhere. So does this lose the imperative of having a Mac? Does it damage the Mac market, or is it irrelevant?
But I think the true story is a lot of people are a lot of cross-platform people still, and we always forget about that. Like, work forces you to use the PC. And in a lot of these workforces, they have a bunch of people running around using iPhones. And then so the iCloud sort of connectivity is paramount to their everyday workflow. And I know, like, I'm in that boat. Like, when I'm running a CNC and everything's on Windows. My laser is on Windows. My CNC is on Windows. And it used to suck to have to just go through networking to move things around. Yeah. So a couple years back, when I was able to access my iCloud drive, it was great. It was just a pain in the butt to install it and keep it updated. Yeah. And then so now having an official Windows Store app to basically, I don't have to deal with the hassle of how to move files around, sending it to like Google Drive or Dropbox. And Dropbox is a mess. I'm way over them. And being a full iCloud user, the only thing that I wish we would finally bring to both systems is copy and paste from iOS. If they can find one way to add that, that would basically just peel all the duct tapes off of my workflow.
Mm. To Doug's point, there's also another like more enterprisey announcement that they're now allowing basically, well, iCloud for the enterprise. You can basically have your personal on your own device. You can have your personal iCloud account and your like work managed iCloud account that they're now introducing finally. And I think that might actually go hand in hand with Windows. Like you could have your work Windows PC with your iCloud drive, with your even work iCloud drive if necessary.
One of the most common questions that you get as a consultant, and I'm sure Steve has gotten it too, hey, we had to let so-and-so person go, but all of the apps in the store are tied to their iCloud address. How can we get it switched over to our iCloud address? And we're like, Apple kind of will do their stuff, but they can't control, you know, the apps you bought from a different company. And the people's face just looks so sad when you tell them they have to buy apps over again sometimes, or the other person has to give up that address that they were using.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there is a solution for that. You simply have to have a business account, and then you can tie that to your like to your company. But a lot of people haven't done that yet.
Yep.
So the limitation of this appears to be fairly succinct in that it's about iCloud photos, and it's about shared albums, and it's about your iCloud drive. But it does you can look at your documents. Calendars, reminders, etc., that kind of stuff, and mail. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have any integration with any of the numbers documents that you store or that kind of stuff. And I think there's a little bit of me that's sitting thinking, oh, you know, so I can share my document with a Windows user, and the Windows user can access it through their browser and alter it through their browser. If I double click something in Windows that's a native numbers folder. It would have been really cool if you could have opened that in a browser, wouldn't it? But I can see that there's a limitation to that, but I just thought that'd be really cool if you can share. You can open a shared view. You know, so it would treat it like it's a shared view. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's really hard.
I think it might be possible in the future.
I don't get that impression from what I'm reading. But well done, Apple, and well done, Windows, because it's good. In terms of setup, it's dead simple. I've gone to the how to set it up thing. Download iCloud for Windows, double click, and you've got to restart your computer. So it'd be interesting what it's doing there in the registry to get it to require it to restart. That'd be cool to know. If anyone knows that, do say so. But no one's in the chat. We're all on our own today, mate.
There's I was going to say no one. Congratulations to Microsoft as well, as they are now the market cap leader, well over a trillion.
They're well over a trillion.
Well, 1.012 trillion or something like that. So they've joined the $1 trillion market cap club. Try saying that. Market cap club.
Bob Beach is in the house. Thank God we've got someone in the chat room to interact with.
Yay.
Thank God.
Yeah, no, didn't say Amazon is now the most valuable brand as well. It's surpassed Apple and...
Google.
Apple and Google is the most valuable brand. That was the story this week, wasn't it? Yeah. Amazon retail brand value, $315,505. Not that means a value, a 2 million, that is. $315 billion versus $309 billion to Apple versus $309 billion. So there's only half a billion between Apple and Google.
Only half a billion.
Well, that's nothing in terms of, we talk about 300. Not exactly a huge percentage, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could change in an hour.
McDonald's ninth on the list. Alibaba. Alibaba seventh on the list at 131 billion. That's the one that shocked me.
And it's funny because for all accounts, they actually consider their U.S. side of things to be somewhat of a failure. they do some incredible stuff, you know, in other places, but they've tried to do their own, like, sort of Amazon thing here. Completely escapes me what the name was. But yeah, it didn't really catch on here. But yeah, Alibaba's just going gangbusters right now.
And Tencent, who's 50 Cent's younger brother, is at 8. A Visa at number 5 and MasterCard nowhere to be seen, man. That's got to hurt. That's really got to hurt.
That's going to hurt, yeah.
Yeah. Bob Beach has installed iCloud for Windows, and I've sent him a message saying, what was the experience like? So I don't think there's a delay on the chat room, so I don't know why he hasn't replied straight away. Apple confirms dashboard is disappearing after 14 years.
Finally. Well, I don't know who's, I mean, I've heard some people are still using it, but I haven't used it in probably almost 10 years.
That was the last time I used it, I think.
You know what killed dashboard for me, honestly, was the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I used to use dashboard religiously, and they had a lot of cool stuff there. But once the iPhone came out, there was kind of no need to do that because you could just look at your phone, and your phone had pretty much everything that dashboard was there. And if you remember, when the first iPhone came out on the original iOS, it was extremely analogous to dashboard with the basic apps that you had. So it's just kind of funny. I think the iPhone and the Apple Watch have basically helped make it useless.
Yeah.
I mean, I still know a couple of people that are big fans of dashboard and will be sad about this news, but I would say 99% of Mac users have probably moved on to the iPhone.
Do you think there's any developers out there just put the ink on the final dot of a bit of code for a widget? The dashboard.
I don't think so. I mean,
probably not.
It was very clear. I mean, Apple has not done anything with dashboard in a very long time, and it was very clear that it would go away eventually.
A lot of people, they're going to say, it has, or, you know, what do you mean it's disappearing? It's been gone for years because they haven't used it.
Well, no, this is the thing that shocked me, is that the feature has already been disabled by default in Yosemite. I hadn't even noticed.
Yeah, there you go.
We took it away and you didn't even notice, and now we've told you it's gone. Now you're upset.
What are people going to do with their F4 key now? You have a free key to remap now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, F4's launchpad.
Well, shows you how many people use Launchpad.
F3 is spaces. Do you know what?
On my keyboard, because I use an old keyboard, it still has the dashboard icon printed on there. But that's because I use an old Chiclet keyboard that I absolutely love.
Mine, F4 is spaces.
I actually don't know how to start dashboard.
You have to open the dashboard app now.
Oh, right. Okay. So command dash. Oh, right. The dashboard app. Yeah, that's with Alfred.
This is my F4 key now.
Yeah.
A fully loaded Stream Deck with all of the buttons for launching everything.
Mine's just got all the Stream Deck stuff for Wirecast, and I don't do anything else.
So. Yeah, it was. And this week, I actually put some time in and set it up for everything. It's incredible. So even Premiere, Lightroom, Photoshop, like, you can remap all kind of things to it. Oh, and it's great. It's just super great. Only problem is I'm going to go somewhere, and I would have forgotten all the keyboard shortcuts, and I'm going to try to use Lightroom or Photoshop with some other computer and be like,
I'm sitting thinking of a time when I used the dashboard app, and I can't. I cannot think of any time I've ever used dashboard.
I might have used it
for calculator, perhaps, or something, but that's it.
I used stickies religiously. I actually wrote
a widget for the dashboard, like, back in the day when I was in school. Like, our cafeteria menu was on the dashboard. On the dashboard.
Which is Patrice proving that 14 years ago he was in school, you bastard.
Yeah.
14 years ago, I'd had my first child a year ago, nearly 2 years ago. Oh, not fair. Dashboard's gone, and no one noticed that it had already gone. Now, this is quite an interesting one. Apple registers 7 unreleased Mac notebooks in the Eurasian database. It's registered 7 unreleased Mac notebooks to the commission database, the A2141 and a whole pile of numbers. According to the listings covered by Mac Rumors, all 7 models appear to be notebooks as they're described as portable.
Well,
does anybody believe this?
Consider the Mac Pro as portable.
The new Mac Pro is not portable. My old one was.
It has wheels.
Sorry, go on, Doc. You were about to say something sensible.
Does anybody really believe this 16-inch thing? I mean, I'm on the fence about it. I could really care less. But my Topher is sitting around waiting for the 16-inch, and he needs a new laptop. And I'm like, stop waiting and just buy a new laptop. And then so Jerome and I were trying to convince him, when you need a machine, just buy a machine. Never mind sitting around waiting. But
by what you need,
I loved my 17. I really, really did, and I held it until it died. But isn't that extra inch going to do anything for anyone? And please, no dumb sex jokes.
Is it going to do anything? Oh, a little bit, probably. I mean, just like it did on the iPad. I think it's just a logical, like, next step. If you look at the iPads, what they did there, where they shrunk down the bezels to basically nothing, I think this, it's just like, they're just going to do it because they can. Like, why have that space there if you don't need it? Like, if you can cram a little bit bigger screen in it.
Okay, so the physical size is not going to get much bigger. They're just going to push the screen out. Pushing the screen out, I get. But, like, going back to the tank, that when you open it up on the airplane, it's not that it barely fits on the table or it doesn't fit on the table at all. Half of it's resting on your belly. It's 12 rows back. People are telling you, close that effing notebook because it's so bright. Like, mm-hmm. I remember those days of opening my 17 on the plane and, like, everyone getting pissed because that thing was basically broad daylight in a foldy book.
So I've got my 17-inch book here that still works. I was using it the other day.
Oh, God, great.
Right, and the viewable size of the screen is 15.5.
Yeah,
so the viewable size of the screen. So all they're doing is taking this, they're taking the current 15-inch form factor and sticking a 16-inch panel in it. Because the current 15-inch form factor is 17 inches.
Okay, yeah, so I'll accept that. If it's going to be the same form factor and they push the bezels out to 16 or 16 and a half, fine. But, I mean, I'm thinking that I thought they were trying to come back out with another lap tank, and I just don't see that because they're on shrink and shrink and shrink. Like, lap tanks are just seem to be gone now.
Well, the thing is as well, if you go out to 16 inches, there can't not be an extra battery drain on that. There has to be because you've got more pixels to light. So there's got to be...
technology is getting better and better. Like the battery drain, but I mean, usually if you see that with the iPhone and with the iPad every year, like the battery size more or less stays the same, maybe increases slightly, but they cram more pixels in. I mean, we saw it with the iPhone 10, we saw it with the new iPads, where like basically battery is the same size, more pixels, and still the battery life increase.
Yeah.
By it's the way, technology. I was, you know, talking about a new MacBook or possibility of such. Did anybody see? I think it was Marco Arment had a tweet out this morning where he was he basically went to a point in one of the interviews that he did with Craig Federighi or something, but they brought up the fact that the Pro Team, which is the group that actually went through and designed the new Mac Pro, is now working on new laptops. Apparently, that's the next thing that they're supposed to be chartered with, is to actually look at making the MacBook Pro a truly pro device, you know, looking at pro workflows, what people will need. So I doubt if that's... you know, what these new numbers are, you know, it seems like it's a little bit too early, but I think down the road, you're looking at a complete, you know, bump up in what you've got in the MacBook Pro line.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say bump up, you and kicks the toilet. One of the things that, the only bad part about the Pro Team doing this, and I mean, this is really a minor bad part, but it was so irritating that the quote unquote real pros have always griped and complained that Apple's pro machines aren't pro enough. Apple, a week and a half ago, put out the first, like, it is straight up a pro machine. Like, the kind of halfway pros is not really you. And what does everybody do? It costs $80 million. So, like, come on, people. Like, which one do you want? Like, do you really want the pro machine? And when they finally do it, then you got to nut up and pay for it. Now, true to form, Patrice has proven this over and over again. The actual pros, the guys that basically get paid a metric crap ton of money to make us ooh and ah over things over Netflix and Marvel Universe, they've already bought them. They never questioned about anything. And no, they didn't buy the stand. They didn't need it.
Yeah. Jeff, you know, it's your turn. Stand, I'm surprised at, no, I'm not surprised because people don't know. When you're buying reference displays, I mean, they cost a buttload of money, and Apple's display is significantly less expensive. When you're buying those big reference displays, you're buying the stand separately, and they're not cheap.
Yeah, we had that conversation.
So, yep.
Yeah.
We did say that last week.
He's yeah. back.
Yeah. I'm back from the pay. Sorry. Sorry, boss. Thank you for filling in.
It was funny. Steve mentioned about the bump up and right when you kick the toilet.
The door shut. Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised that the pro team is always working on something. So if they're not working on a Mac Pro, if they're not working on iMac Pro, if they're not working on whatever else Apple might be cooking up that we haven't even heard about, then they're definitely working on a MacBook Pro. Like that's their whole reason to exist. Like, they're looking at the pro market and they're looking at the devices that are being used there and they're saying, what else can we do? So it's not really, like, I mean, Apple wasn't giving away any secrets here.
So when's coming out?
The AirPod Pro?
Sorry.
Yeah, with surround sound?
what I was going to say, what's really funny about, you know, the conversation between, like, you know, the pro stuff and the other pro stuff is, you know, I know everyone hates it when you make the analogy to cars, but it's just one of those things I think a lot of people can understand. When I made the transition from, you know, like, standard issue, everybody's saloon car to buying a quote unquote luxury car, it was probably the craziest or dumbest thing I ever did. Because once you do it, you can't stand regular cars anymore. And I tried last year to be eco and go back to, like, a standard car. And I hated it. I drove the 3 years. I gave it back and went right back to a luxury car. And, yeah, there are better things I would spend the money on. But I'm in the car a lot, so I drive a lot, and so I appreciate the gain. And I think the same thing happens when you go from a, you know, what was called a pro computer to actually using a pro computer. For the longest time after I, you know, played with my Silicon Graphics Indie, I used to want for my Mac to catch up to the Indie, and now it's past it. Because indies aren't that big a thing anymore, but there's still a bunch of stuff that was always missing as far as just raw core power. So to be able to get something like that in a notebook, or to be able to get something like that in the new Mac Pro, I think I would relish it. And Ewan's proven that over and over, because he still loves his trash can to his day. And the trash can is what, 4 years old, Ewan?
Yeah, probably four, nearly five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that you've got to remember, though, and I come from this from a different viewpoint. I've been a pro photographer for 36 years.
Wow, really? That's amazing.
Thanks, man. I thought I'd have shagged myself to death by now, but I haven't. The thing was, when I started, I was getting paid shit money for doing shit photographs. I was doing Collier's car executives because they wanted a picture on their business card, because that was the big thing in the 80s, and getting £100 for it. And then it was just like, well, I need a lens, and I was buying cheap lenses. And then you want to do macro photography, I can't afford a macro lens, so I have to do reverse lens macro, where you stick two lenses together and band them up with some sellotape and take a picture with them. And everything was done on the cheap, so, you know, there was no post-processing for vignettes and that kind of stuff. I used a set of 40 denier tights and cut them open and spread them on the lens, and that was my vignette. I did all the stuff that was like the little cheats, the stuff that an A-level student would do because they hadn't got the money. And now I look at all the tech and I look at all the stuff that goes on and I look at it and think, well, do I need that? Because I've still got that ingrained in me about, even though I can afford stuff, I can buy an £8,000 camera quite happily, but I just think, what am I getting for it? And when I have bought an £8,000 camera, it's because I've justified that. And you look at reference monitors, for example, I sit here with two 1300 by 1340 by, they're not even HD. And it doesn't make any difference. I process video all day, every day, and I do color grading on them. They're all calibrated, but they don't need to be that kind of monitor. And for 99.9999% of the people that were looking at Apple's reference monitors, they don't need it. They certainly don't need to spend £5,000 on a monitor, not by a long shot. And that's the trouble, is that the pros, there's a certain element of pros who get paid an awful lot of money for what they do, and they don't actually justify the expenditure of what they've got in their head. And that's the sad part. I would rather spend more money on the computer and less money on the, and I'd rather spend more money on the camera than I would on the computer, because actually to post-process it is irrelevant. Do you remember a film called Monsters? Back 2010, 2011, Well, that was a kid who, or a guy who, it was his first ever movie, and he shot all the footage, and then he did all the special effects on a MacBook Pro in his bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The one thing I would say to that, though, Yuen, and you're 100% correct, because you know, we've all done the ghetto fabulous tricks. And there's a certain part, and it is kind of dumb, but there's a certain part to back when we were doing like a lot of title works and stuff for commercials, people would want to come to your little posting, and it was all about the Natuzzi leather couch behind the big Westcott console and the Sony XDR 3000, you know, triple jog wheel color corrector and all of the reference monitors. Like the guys that were back there paying you wanted to see that you were doing all of that, not going to do it, say, on your home setup. And it's sad but true, but we also, for a long time, and it seems to have gone away a bit, the wedding video and wedding photographer guys, for the long time, were beating themselves up and still shooting on SVHS because the cameras were bigger and it looked like you knew what you were doing, instead of when all of the new DV stuff came out, when Canon and Sony first came out with like the PD150, and you had these gorgeous DV cameras, a lot of those guys didn't want it because you didn't seem like you were doing what you were supposed to be doing because the camera was so small. And then so when one of the first things that happened with DSLR is when the quality got good, everybody started building monster rigs so that when you brought the rig, it still looked like you were getting paid for what you get paid for. So you're right, but I think part of it is visual, and as long as Hollywood does that, it will always exist. And Hollywood does and, that
yeah it does
well yes yeah, and I mean there's also like the time aspect. I mean, yeah, you can do all the special effects on your probably like on your 15-year-old MacBook Pro. It's just going to take way much longer. It's always about like, it's a balance. Like, what are you spending? And can you, I mean, what you were saying, you could buy an $8,000 camera body, but you have to think about it and say, is it worth it? Like, is it really, am I going to use it? Is it really going to be what I need? And I think that should always be your guiding factor, not that it's flashy and nice. And like, I mean, yes, I would love to buy a Mac Pro, but I really don't need it. So I'm definitely not going to buy one.
God, I fancy buying because a red camera. I sit and fancy a red camera every week, but there's absolutely no way on God's green earth that it would be of any real value to me and get any more of a reaction out of the people that I work for than the standard Sony FS5 that I've currently got, which is fine.
One thing I'll say that I don't think enough people do to themselves, and I don't want to add a somber tint to this, but some of you guys might remember, I know Steve might remember, back in 2010, I had a stroke and nearly killed my ass. I'm surprised to be alive right now. The one thing I got out of that when I came back to life is I will never save $10 over 10 minutes ever again. And so I will always spend anything it takes to make my life time simpler, because I value my time so much better. And when I was young, I didn't do that. I thought like, oh yeah, I can do this. I can do that. Like I'm at the point where like, I don't even wash my car. I literally take my car to a detail shop and I get a lot of crap. I was like, why do you waste $50 a week having somebody else wash your car? You can wash your car yourself because I'm hella anal. It takes me 5 hours to wash my car. So the $50 is cheaper, right? So there does become a point where when you grow up ghetto, you always trying to save money because that's what you had. And so I grew up like that. And then I got to a point where I can afford to pay someone to wash my car. And I was still spending that 5 hours washing my car twice a week. And then it started to dawn on me about the time. And I could tell anyone out there, if you ever put yourself in a position to calculate, should I spend more time doing X because I'm going to save a little bit more, throw it out the window. And, one of the ones where I recently rediscovered how important this is, I've discovered that when I travel, especially in a place like San Diego or like I'm going to Japan, in Japan, they have hotels on top of the train stations. The tellies on top of the train stations always cost you an extra $25 a day. If you can afford it, it's worth it because walking a mile to the train station, it takes way longer and you're wasting part of your expensive vacation. Walking down the elevator and getting into the train to go where you want to go, priceless. And once you figure that out, it's game changer. And I mean, and that doesn't even require busing a hole with another card or selling a kid. Sometimes people are nickel and diming $20. And that's where apps that are in said app come into play. Like I always get my $10 a month back, probably on day three.
Oh, easily. I've used Downy.
Easily.
Downy saved my ass last night. I was I was recording. So I've got this setup, and I use this setup for customers. And a customer's here. We did the show. It was great. Birmingham Property News. Thank you very much. And it was like, oh shit, there's a fault with the recording. It's corrupted it. What am I going to do? And it went onto Facebook. It had gone through to his Facebook page, and Downey let me get his video from his Facebook page. And I was like, oh. And then I reprocessed it and posted it to him and said, yeah, no problem. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, see, that paid for a year worth of set app. Oh, just
easily.
Like that.
Easily.
Yeah.
That was arse twitch time. Holy shit.
Doc is absolutely right. I mean, that's something I've learned, I think. Not, I mean, I didn't have a stroke, but like my dad died. And I think that changed it for me. I was like, I'd rather, like, one example I have is like, I'd rather spend like some money having a maid come in and clean my house than me spending probably an entire weekend doing that every like 2 weeks or so. That is like, I mean, she does it better than me and she's much faster. Like she does in an hour and a half what I would probably need almost 2 days for. Like, so if I calculate that time and that value that I get out of it, I'm like, that's easy. Like, not even thinking about it.
And in an hour and a half, you could write a whole bunch of program.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can. Yeah. Okay. Well, and actually, in like 8-9 hours, because that's how much it would take me.
What's funny is a lot of people take this conversation as, oh, you're bougie because you have it. And I will even say that there were times when we were ghetto and we were poor and we were on food stamps that sometimes my mom would do stuff that probably would have just saved her money to just nut up and pay for it, even though it wasn't expensive. I see people do it the most in the small nickel and dimey things. It's normally not even the big stuff that they're doing it. A lot of times it's the really small stuff. Yeah. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. And once you get it, you get it.
Yeah. I catch myself like quite frequently where I'm fretting over like spending free, like, I don't know, I order food, which is like in itself expensive. And then I fret over like $1 or $2. I'm like, you're stupid. Like you're already spending whatever, $30 for it because you want the convenience and you don't want to cook right now. Like the $2 are not going to kill you.
The thing I would say is it's percentages with me. So it's like when I started this diet, it was October, you could buy pine nuts for £15 a kilo. So they were pretty expensive, but you could buy them £15 a kilo. And I ate loads of them. Now, for some reason, I've got no idea why, pine nuts are £35 a kilo. Two and a bit times more, 2.25 times more. And there's a lot of me there who's going, nah, sorry. And I can afford £35 pound nuts, but I just refuse because that smacks of profiteering for me now. Just why on earth the world shortage on pine nuts? I don't think so. Sod off.
No, it's healthy food.
Exactly.
Always gets more expensive once they figure out. Like acai berries was rubbish, and now acai berries is $40 a pound. Now, it literally used to be stuff they threw away. And the one that chaps my nads the most growing up as a pork kid, I used to get pork belly for free from the butcher.
Yeah, no pork belly.
Because he was going to throw it away. And then my grandma, you know, being a Latino, she knows how to make some quite amazing, like, pork bone soup that you use as a base for all kinds of stews and, you know, white peas and pork soup. Like, yeah, incredible. Like, we used to literally scrap that we used to get teased for because we ate for being poor. Now it's expensive. And Whole Foods charges me $13 a pound for beef bones, which I used to make stock. I used to just walk in and be like, oh, can I get all of the leg bones? Oh, yeah, it's free. Now they want $12 a pound for what you gave me 2 years ago for free.
We're being chastised by Bob in the Slack room, and we've been ignoring. We've been complaining that no one was there. Bob turned up, and we've ignored him since. So sorry, mate.
Sorry, Bob.
What you're talking about is called comparative advantage in economics. Specialize in doing what you're good at and trade for the rest. I wish you guys would take a basic economics course.
I think that Bob's an economist, right? Economics course, but it was so damn long ago that.
And Deepan's joined us. Hello, mate. Good evening. When I see people haggling over 20 pence at a car boot sale, I despair for the value people place on their life. I can go with that. Yeah, that's fair enough. Evening all. Evening, mate.
What's a car boot sale?
A trunk sale. So everyone turns up and everything that they've got a pasting table for decorating in the boot, and they take it out in the trunk, and they take it out, spread it open, and then they put the worldly goods on there, and you go in. Yeah, flea market. There we go.
Yeah, flea market.
Mm-hmm. Shit. We should have known that word, flea market. We don't sell fleas over here, though. They're too expensive.
got them.
The next iPhone XR will have a 6% larger battery. I can't understand how this is even a frigging story on Mac Rumors.
Okay.
Number one, 6% increase in battery size is kind of like probably below what the path of the course should be in terms of technical evolution. But mostly, you would have said that the 10R, I haven't heard any stories about anyone complaining about battery life with it. And I can't say that I've heard anyone complain about any iPhone in the last 2 years over battery life.
Yeah.
Apple have cracked battery life.
Yeah, that, and there's a new feature in iOS 13 actually where they now, like, even they don't charge your battery to 100% if it doesn't have to, just to like prolong the life of your battery actually.
Right.
So that shows you that there is enough room in your battery, like on a day-to-day basis, that they can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we always do these rumors right about now, and it's going to roll until September. We should try to figure out what the next gate is going to be.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It feels like right now it's cheese grater gate.
It's greater gate.
It's battery greater monitor stent gate.
Well, it's going to be Tim gate, isn't it? Because isn't he leaving soon? Didn't he say he was off this year?
No. He didn't say anything like that.
I thought he said he was... Oh, okay. Maybe I got that wrong.
I don't know.
That was clearly a dream. No, and I woke up and Tim was in the shower. and so there's only some of you old enough to get that reference.
Yeah, and I definitely got the reference.
I didn't.
Yeah,
someone's going to go.
Stop rubbing it in, Patrice.
I wasn't born when Bobby was in the shower, mate.
Man, wasn't that just like a total ripoff for us? I mean, like retconning it was at least one season.
It was
that was such a ripoff.
Yeah, because he died, didn't he? But he didn't. But the other, I'm sorry if I spoiled that for anyone, Dallas from the 1980s, blown by Rankin on this 2019. But the Lost was like that for me. Lost, when I heard, because I only watched the first episode of Lost, and I got halfway through when the tree started shaking, I was like, oh, this is going to be a pile of bollocks, and I left it. And I'm glad I did, because when everyone said what the ending to Lost was, it was like, that's Bobby in the shower, man. That is Bobby in the shower all over. And everyone said the same thing about Game of Thrones. Bobby in the shower.
You know, the one place where it worked perfectly, it was just beautiful, was at the end of Newhart.
All right.
Oh yeah.
I mean that was perfect. It was Bobby in the shower, but done right.
Okay. I never saw the end of Newhart, so that's my problem. President Tim says Deep Pan, Tim for 2020. You really think?
Well, everybody and their grandma is running, so.
America hasn't put a woman in the White House, and they're going to put a gay man in. I think that would be the best thing since sliced bread, but I'm sorry. America does not elect a gay man. I just don't see that at all.
That's right. Everyone's so in love with Pete, and I think Pete's incredible, but I'm like, that's going to be a hard sell for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby Ewing has a better chance.
There'll be a black dude in the White House before a gay man. I'll wait.
So that is an accurate statement. Wait. There will be a black man in the White House before there's an openly gay man.
It was gay.
Oh, so it was so Obama wasn't openly black then?
No.
Oh, right. Okay, I got you. That's why he kept his records and tax records.
We had one non-married president, and you know who knows? Back then was a different time.
Was that Roosevelt?
No,
Teddy Roosevelt was single, wasn't he? Was he? No.
No.
Who's the single one?
James Buchanan.
Buchanan, right? Okay,
and he did have I don't know if it was the same man that stayed at the White House with him regularly or if it was different men.
Oh,
but you know, they were there for political reasons.
That was when it was the closet White House.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
So the only two single presidents ever were Buchanan and Cleveland.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Okay.
U.S. history on the British Tech Network. That's pretty funny.
Well, no, see, I'm not too bad at naming the American presidents, but I...
You're better than most Americans.
Let's say that again.
But I think, so my family's related to Polk somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Polk Audio, like the speakers?
No, so my cousin lived in Detroit. She moved out from Ireland, but James Polk was descended from Irish descent, and she did the family tree back to Polk. And he's in there. He's a cousin of a cousin or something like that, which is, in Ireland, everyone is everyone's cousin, so it's just... last story. Power Beats Pro launch postponed until July in many countries. I don't know why this has been postponed, because they're on sale, aren't they, in the US fully, but right. Austria, Brazil, Belgium, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy. Is this a production issue that they're just thinking, well, we're going to sell them in these other countries, so let's fulfill the big countries over the bad countries?
Yeah, it's either like they're selling too many of those or more than they were expecting, or they have a production issue of some sort.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably it. Apple's first totally wireless Beats earphones equipped with the same H1 chip technology as the second generation AirPods. I want to say something about the AirPods, actually, because if you remember, I told you about my son getting turned over by two little shites. The police have got the video, and they're confident of finding the wee shites.
That's like fantastic.
We like that. And also, this week, James Rickards, who kind of organized it and Magic Man, who started it all off, the little collection. Jane Ellis got his new earpods. They came through. So thank you very much to everyone who did that. That was absolutely awesome. Really, really, truly awesome. And they're on sale in the UK too, says Deep Pan. So they're already out. So what's this thing about Bieber having a fight with Tom Cruise? Deep Pan's gone on about it twice now.
Yeah, Bieber
wants to fight
made a statement about how he wants to do some like ring fight match against Tom Cruise.
But I honestly think Tom Cruise would kick his ass.
You and everyone else.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's not just me then.
You definitely would.
No, the funny part is Tom would kick his ass while he's trying to teach him about Scientology at the same time. Be a simultaneous ass whooping and boredom at the same time.
Moving on, before we get sued by the Scientologists, they're lovely people. My uncle actually used to sit on a parish council, for planning or local council for planning permission, and they had Scientologists in the area, and they put in a planning permission thing for an extension to the place that they bought. And he said they were the most lovely people on the planet. They were really, really nice people. Okay. No, I'm not joining. This podcast and all the others is hosted by TSO host. This podcast and all the others is hosted by TSO host. They are absolutely brilliant. We love them to bits. And without them, we would be sunk because we wouldn't have the bandwidth. We wouldn't have the storage. We wouldn't be able to show you all the video podcasts we've ever done and all the audio podcasts we've ever done going right the way back to 2008. That is how much they mean to us. So a few people have done it this week, and I really appreciate those people who bothered to take the time to just get on social media and say, thanks at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. That's all we need from you. Please, please, please. If you want to buy stuff, so GB Redneck has put another customer onto TSO host, got the 20% off, used the tech support and gone, holy crap, that's brilliant. I've transferred a domain that I bought for a customer to the customer, and TSO host chat support was absolutely unreal. You get all of that good stuff, but all they want from us is brand recognition. So please, please, please make sure that you send out that message. Those that have, I do appreciate it very much. And thanks also to Wirecast from Telestream, who give us the software that do this. And thanks to Hoya, who give me my glasses, because they're absolutely awesome too. And I'd be lost without them. Absolutely adore my unique. The Bash is coming up. It's 27th of July, Saturday. There's going to be a Mac show on the 26th here at the studio. Then there's going to be a curry straight afterwards. Then there's going to be the Bash on the 27th. And then there's going to be breakfast at my place on the Sunday morning, like normal. All the stuff that happens at the Bash will normally happen as it does now. However, there's a slight change because we haven't enough ticket sales, so we're not going to do it at the Link. It's going to be a house party at my place, and that means it's limited to 30 people. So there are 30 tickets available. If you would like to come, please buy your ticket. The Bash will be exactly the same. It'll be no different. We'll have all the fun. We'll do the World Card Championships, the whole shebang. But it will be at my house. So please get on and buy your ticket. Now you're going, well, hang on, that's expensive for a house party. You get your money back when you turn up, okay? So when you get to the party, you will get your money back. If you don't turn up, you lose your money. So I'd make sure you book it and come if I were you. It should be loads and loads of fun. The Travel Lodge is there. It's all good. The BTN Triangle will be up in full effect. 27th of July for the Bash. Right. Have we got a cool thing for us, Doc?
Okay. So we were just talking about things that sort of save you time and therefore save you money. And I'm trying to get my messages app to come back to the front so I can send it to you. This is something I bought. It was on Kickstarter. It is been funded, so they should be hitting the bricks pretty soon. This is known as an ultra rapid filter system. Anyone that likes shooting, especially in a place where I live, if you don't have ND filters, you're basically screwed. Because the sun would just beat your butt. Also, where Jeff and Steve live, you probably need ND filters like no tomorrow. So one of the biggest things that's been somewhat of a pain in the butt is it sucks screwing on filters. And I'm that dummy that doesn't buy cheap filters. And I dropped a $250 breakthrough filter, and it didn't break, but it scratched in a dumb part, so I never wanted to do that again. So this thing is cool. All it allows you to do is flip the filter up, flip the filter down, flip it up, flip it down, and it stays connected. And you can either flip it sideways if you want, but it makes it super easy to on and off your filter that you're using in your situation without having to screw the damn things on. And anybody like you in his 30 how many years will still tell you that sometimes when you get a filter half crooked, it's such a bitch. And it's depending on what you're doing, it can make you miss a shot. So it's relatively cheap for what it does. I looked into the magnetic system from Manfrotto, which I like, but you got to buy so many of them for all your filters. It's irritating. So this is really cool, and it's kind of sort of cheap. And a built-in step-up ring, by the way, because I buy 82 filters and step down to whatever lenses I have, because 82 is the biggest ring I have at the moment.
Bob's just made a good point. A neutral density filter in the UK at the moment would mean there was no light at all. It's a bit dark here. It's a bit dark here.
Yeah, so you guys need color polarizers, right?
There you go, $129 for a hinge.
And no, that's Tupac.
And a dead rapper.
Good I one. See that what you did there.
Funny.
Nicely done.
That was funny.
Oh, that's quite a good shot. Look, the dude is actually holding the entire 200mm lens up on the camera by the hinge. That's impressed me. I was being pissy, but that's actually quite that impressed heavy. Me. That is heavy. That is a lot. That's probably 2.5 kilos, maybe more. Of camera gear,
it's 3.3. The white lens and a Sony body is 3.3 kilos,
right?
Okay. Because I have a gimbal, so I can just tell you that's what it is.
Bob just said, Deep Pans just said, I don't know, Bob, but is it waterproof? Yeah, because we're getting a lot of rain here at the minute.
Yes,
awful lot of rain.
It is waterproof, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's glass, mate. Of course, it is.
No. The filter part, you know, it's mate, I was joking, aluminium, so it won't rust.
Thank you, mate. I was joking, but thank you. Jeffrey, have you got a cool thing for us?
I do. I just have to get the right window back up in front of me so I can send you a link. Here we go. Okay. So this is going to cost you a lot less than that awesome filter hinge, but it's also going to save you time and aggravation. And this is an app that I've been using. It's called Home 3. It's an app that I've been using on my iPhone for a really long time. It's the home app that Apple should have made for HomeKit. The interface is just so much better than Apple's home app offers for customizing things. So when I need to set up a new scene for something, and I want to make sure that the color of the lights, it's consistent across all the lights. I get the right brightness. And with Apple's home app, you're just kind of eyeballing everything. And with this, you get to set exact percentages for everything. And I think it's much easier to see everything that you've added to a scene and just seeing all the devices that are, or what the state is of all the devices on your network are for HomeKit. This is just a killer app. Yes, it's $14.99 US.
Yeah, that's money well spent if it does your thing.
It's money well spent. And I was totally fine spending $15 to buy this. It's been a fantastic tool that I've been using for a long time, and it has saved me so much time and so many headaches. This is the home app that we should have had all along.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. And actually, this is the app where Apple stole the idea from. It has existed even before Apple had the home app.
Right. Yeah. They even stole the name.
Yeah.
Because this has always been called Home, and then Apple releases their app called Home. And the original Apple icon looked a lot like the Home app icon.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of home automation, and I just wondered if everyone would like to know this, but I've always been really pained because I like the TP-Link stuff. The Casa sockets are absolutely brilliant. They're hugely reliable, and they're absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. They never worked with HomeKit, but they do now. They've just released it. So if you have got Casa stuff, you can use it with HomeKit. There's a little bit of if you go to Apple Insider, there's an article on it where they've talked about it, but you can use it. You just need to get it enabled. But there you go. I am stoked about that. Thank you.
Cool.
Good pick. Mr. Sandy, what have you got for us?
Well, you know, it's funny because earlier I was thinking about talking about the new camera, but something happened yesterday that, our discussion here about time versus money, it really kind of clicked for me. And this is something that Apple provides as a service. Well, yesterday, excuse me, believe it or not, I do not have, or did not have, I should say, an Apple Pencil 2 for my iPad Pro. And simply don't use an Apple Pencil all that much, but there are some apps that I'm thinking about using, and it really makes a lot of sense to have that. Plus, I'm writing a review of a handwriting recognition app and really needed to get one of these. Well, I needed to get it quickly, but I didn't want to get my butt out of the chair, go down to my car, drive not that far, 5 miles, I think it is, to my local Apple store and pick the thing up. I just wanted to continue doing work. So I pulled up the Apple store app, ordered the wonderful Apple Pencil 2, and I noticed when I was checking out that there was this little thing that said, pay $9. Get this within 2 hours. And I went, huh, I don't remember ever seeing that before. I've been told that it's, you know, apparently something that they've been kind of working out into different Apple store locations. But I ordered this thing at 12:58 p.m. yesterday. I had it delivered to my door at 1:39 p.m.
Wow.
To me, that $9 was really worth it. So
that was faster than you driving to the store, buying it, and driving home. Because I know that.
Yeah, he's old. You ever seen old people drive?
Horrible comment. But no, anyway, you know, just one of those things. If you have the opportunity, if you're ordering something and you're really busy, you know, look. Make sure, you know, just see if they've got that little thing. They use Postmates to actually do the deliveries, and I was totally impressed. So time versus money, this is a situation where $9 was definitely worth it.
Excellent.
Oh, and that's so, you know, the one where that's going to come in handy, and I swear it's happened on many occasions. You're doing a presentation, and you got your DongleBook Pro, and you know what you're missing? The freaking dongle. So to have to drive to, like, you know, so especially when it happens, you're normally at the city where it's not home, and you don't know where that Apple store is, but it's kind of close, you know, like you're in Pioneer Plaza or something. And you can just hit them up, and, you know, some dude with a beard in Portland runs down the street, grabs you a dongle book thing, and brings it back. Oh, perfect. That is genius.
Yeah. And it's in an Apple bag, too, which, in a little paper bag with a little handle. So
cool.
Excellent. I'm going to order my next Mac that way.
And then send it back when it's late. I thought you said 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, I wanted it in 30 minutes. Yeah, it's too late now. It's
cold.
Unloaded.
My MacBook's cold. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I got a TV show for us. It's a TV miniseries. It's Good Omens. It's on Netflix, as far as I know. At least here it is. It's amazing.
Yes.
Like, it was created by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. It's based on a Terry Pratchett book. It stars David Tennant and Michael Sheen amongst, like, a really awesome cast. And it's just, like, it's just so good. It's about, like, it's about Armageddon and an angel and a demon that are kind of not really, like either one of them are trying to be better people or, like, trying to be, like, more open to, like, life. And a, like, 11-year-old Antichrist that kind of was switched up. Like, they were thinking, like, he would arrive at a certain date, and then something happened at the hospital, and, like, now they can't find him. That's basically the story, and it's so good. As I said, it's on Netflix, so if you got Netflix, it should... no, actually, it's on Prime. Sorry, it's not on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime. So if you have Prime, you should get it for free, and it's really, 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 really good.
Excellent, mate.
The book is wonderful. I haven't had a chance to watch the series yet, but I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about the series.
Yeah, it's Neil Gaiman, so you're squared away.
The actors are amazing.
I think you've got to be into Pratchett as well. And there was bits of Pratchett I really liked and bits of Pratchett that I rolled my eyes at. So I mean, he's great. He was good. Don't get me wrong, but he wasn't brilliant, as everyone else says. And I do struggle a little bit with these guys as well, as to I've watched 3 of the episodes, and it was like nearly. But I'll keep going. I'll keep going. It's not bad enough that I'm bothered. I will keep trying. So there we go.
All right. So this is the first not good personal review, I've heard of the series. No, so I'll take that as a good sign.
Yeah, okay. That's me not saying it's bad. I'm not gushing about it yet. I might, but at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They were.
You know, no, I'm curious. So, Ewan, because you are a very critical film person and TV person.
I do like me and the wife are real filmophiles. It's one of our
So I mean, not saying that's bad. I'm saying that in a good way. Yeah. You're very critical. So what is something that you would put in the must watch category that's a year newer or less?
The Orville.
Mm-hmm. I love the Orville.
I really.
When I got to the end of the last season, I haven't watched it yet. I've been waiting for it to be able to see it all at one crack.
So imagine all the positives.
Season one and season two are done, so you can watch both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I really value it. And the thing is as well, I think the Orville as well has basked a little bit in the afterglow of Discovery being utter shit. Because Discovery was so bad that everyone looked at the Orville like, oh my God, thank you. Because, you know, with Discovery being so bad, it had to, you know, I had at least something to watch that was Star Trek-like. But some of the lines are great. Some of the subtleties are nice. There's a mix of humor versus storyline. Some of the episodes are a little bit dark, but then they come back, and I really enjoyed Orville. That was a must.
I just love Seth MacFarlane, so I'll watch it just because of that.
And I enjoyed Norseman as well. Have you watched Norseman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Love Norseman. Right. That was good.
So
that was another one where there's like some episodes where you kind of like, that's hilarious. And there's other episodes you're like, no, come on, that's not funny. So, but getting there. We'll do it.
That's good.
We'll do it. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK.
Excellent, mate. Oh, hang on. It doesn't want to change. There we go. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I am over at smilesoftware.com and textexpander.com. And I'm on the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, you know, those kind of places, J Gamut. I'm easy to find.
Excellent. Bill, Deep Pan's put in that David Tennant's a bit like a Bill Nye kind of impression, which is true. And he's put,
he's doing one.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, Deep Pan said, I'm not into Pratchett at all, but I really enjoyed this series. There we go. Steve, where are you, mate?
Where am I?
Where can people get hold of you?
I'm at appleworld.today, and you can also find me at the OWC blog, which is blog.maxsales.com or therocketyard.com. And anyway, you can find me also on those social media things is at Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N, Sandy, S-A-N-D-E.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And Patrice, you've put the photo thing in the link already.
Oh, already done, yeah.
Good man. It says it's only got 4 reviews, though, which I think we've got more than that. Maybe it's populated.
It might still need a little bit of time to update, like it doesn't usually get all reviews in one pass.
Yeah, no. It'll be good out there. Where can everyone get hold of you, mate?
As always, every week here on The Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, pal. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech. We'll be back again in 35 minutes for the photo show, which hasn't happened for a while, but that should be good fun. And we'll be back next week with The Mac Show as normal. So we'll see you next Friday. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.